Well, thank you, Stephanie, and the praise team, and Bill, and Connie, and Jim for the drums. It's been good to be in the Lord's house this morning, worshiping Him. As most of you know, this is kind of going to be a special service for us as we are sending our youth out on a mission trip on Saturday. I think this is the first mission trip our youth have had in maybe 15, maybe 20 years, if I'm not mistaken. So this is kind of a historic moment for Calvary Baptist Church. So before we get to the message this morning, let's just ask the Lord's blessing on the preaching of His Word. Father, it is good to be in Your house. Father, it's good to know that we belong to You, that we are Your children, that we can call upon You and know that Thou art our Father. And Father, we just ask Your blessing upon our services here this morning. Father, I just pray that You would speak to all of us through Your Word. And Father, I just pray for the youth, and for the youth leaders as they go to Pennsylvania. Father, I just ask that You would just guide and direct every step that they take, every word that they speak, and that You would use them, Lord, in this church there in Pennsylvania and in the hearts and the lives of the children that will attend the Vacation Bible School. And Lord, all we can do is just bring it before Your throne and ask, Lord, that You do the work through them. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title of my message this morning is A Message to the Youth. But before I can speak a message to our youth, I need to speak, first of all, a message to our church and to Christian parents. If I was to ask you, what is the goal of our church? What are we to focus on? What do we hope to accomplish? What do we want to produce? Why are we here at Calvary Baptist Church? What is the highest goal that we have as a church? I wonder what that would be. If I was to ask you, what is your goal as a Christian parent? As you raise your children, what's your goal? What do you want to accomplish? What is your focus? What do you want to produce? Sometimes we think of Christian parenting as kind of being a police officer. You just sort of patrol their life, and when they do something wrong, you issue a ticket, and you're hoping to keep your children away from the big three: drugs, alcohol, and premarital sex. If you can just keep those three away from your children, you've accomplished your goal. So what do we just focus on as Christian parents? Is that it? Or is there more to it than that? David, I think, captures what should be the paramount focus of our church and of Christian parenting. He says in Psalm 27:4, one thing, that's interesting, one thing I've asked of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to seek Him in His temple. David said, there's only one thing I'm asking for, to just enjoy the presence of God. What is our goal as a church at Calvary Baptist Church? What's our highest purpose for being here? It is to produce a people who have a heart for God. What is your goal as a Christian parent? Is hopefully to cultivate in your children a heart for God. All of us, we want things for our children. We want a good education for our children. We want them to have a suitable and satisfying job. We want them to have a loving marriage, healthy children of their own, a good home, a life that isn't torn by tragedy. But what is our one wish for our children? If we could wish one thing for our children, what would it be? Deeper than houses and cars and jobs and mates? More fundamental than location and situations? Deeper than where they are and what they will do? What do we want them to be? That's the question. What do we want our children to be? You ask somebody, how's your daughter doing? Oh my, she's doing wonderful. She's married. She's got three children. They just built a new house out west of Randall Road. 3,000 square foot. Wow. Got a big master bedroom and a master bath. Good. Nothing wrong with that. Or you ask a parent, how's your son doing? Oh, my, he's doing wonderful. He just was made vice president of the company. He's making a six-figure salary. Travels all over the world. That's good. But how few parents there are when you ask them, how's your son? How's your daughter? They walk with God. They have a heart for God. That's what our goal is as Christian parents. That's what our goal is as a church, is to produce a people who have a heart for God. In Judges chapter 1, there is this frightening verse where it says that there arose a generation after Joshua and his generation had passed away, there arose a generation that did not know the Lord. You say, how could that be? How? What a tragedy. All that they've seen under Joshua, and there arose a generation after Joshua that did not know the Lord. I don't want that said of Calvary Baptist Church. Our first calling at Calvary Baptist Church is not necessarily to the community that God's placed us in, but it's here, to our children and to the people of Calvary Baptist Church, to produce a people who have a heart for God, first and foremost. So that's our goal as a church and as parents. Produce a people who have a heart for God. Now, how do we do that? That's the million-dollar question. To produce a church and children who have a heart for God. Now I'm ready for my message to the youth. Turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Find the big book of Isaiah and head to the right, and you'll find Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 4 through 19. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you, and I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, O Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a youth. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and wherever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand, and he touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over the nation and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build, and to plant. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And he said, I see an almond branch. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well. I am watching over my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot facing away from the north. Then the Lord said to me, out of the north disaster shall be let loose upon all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the tribes of the kings of the north, declares the Lord, and they shall come, and everyone shall set his throne at the entrance of the gate of Jerusalem, against all of its walls all around and against all the cities of Judah. And I will declare my judgments against them for all their evil in forsaking me. They have offered to other gods and worshiped the works of their own hands. But you, dress yourself for work, arise and say to them, everything that I command you, do not be dismayed by them, lest I be dismayed before you. And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 1 here, historically what we have here is God's calling upon the life of Jeremiah. That's the setting. And we need to keep this in mind. This was God's calling to Jeremiah to make him a prophet to the nation of Israel. But I think there's some principles that we can glean from this chapter and apply it to our youth and their youth trip to Pennsylvania. So my hope this morning for the youth is to just give you something that you can take with you to Pennsylvania. And I've tried to arrange my message in a way that hopefully you can remember some of what I'm sharing with you this morning. And so I've kind of divided it into four points. And all four points begin with the letter R. And so here's the first thing I want our church, and that is I've got some things here I want you to remember, okay? Point number one, there's some things I want you to remember as you go to Pennsylvania. The first is that God made you. You find that in verse 5 when God is speaking to Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You were in my mind before I even formed you in the womb. And before you were born, I consecrated, I set you apart, and I appointed you a prophet to the nations. So here's the point I want to make to the youth this morning is understand that God made you. He formed you. The color of your eyes, the color of your hair, your facial features, whether you would be tall or short, the form of your eyes, or I mean the shape of your ears, the shape of your mouth, everything about you, God made you. You are the person that God has made. But not only has He made you externally, your body, but He's made you internally, your personality. Some of you are extroverts. You like to meet people. You're outgoing. You're warm. You're friendly. Others of you are more introverts and you're quiet. But I want all of you to know that God made you and He's given all of you gifts and talents. And not only did He make you, but He's also the one who is sending you out. Just like He called Jeremiah and made Jeremiah a prophet and sends him to the nation of Israel, I want you to understand this too, that not only has God made you, but God has a plan and a purpose for you, just like He did for Jeremiah. It's not an accident that you are a part of Calvary Baptist Church here in 2010. It's not an accident that God placed on the heart of Alex and Rachel and Jennifer and Jimbo and Stacy to put together a youth trip. It's not an accident that Mark Edman, the leader for Fox Valley, made a contact with a church in Pennsylvania and they needed a church to come alongside them to help them with a vacation Bible school. Those things didn't happen by chance. So I want you to remember, God made you. He's given you these gifts and talents. And it's not an accident that you're going to Pennsylvania. It's part of God's plan. He says to Jeremiah, I consecrated you. I set you apart. You're to be different. I'm going to use you to the nation of Israel. And he's saying to the youth, it's not an accident. You're going to Pennsylvania. But I'm going to use you there to touch hearts and lives of children in the vacation Bible school there in Pennsylvania. So that's the first thing I want you to remember, is that God made you and God has a plan and a purpose to use you. Point number two is relationship. That is, true Christianity is a relationship with the true and the living God through Jesus Christ. Did you notice the dialogue here in chapter 1? Now the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, personally. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Behold, I formed you, and before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you, and I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Oh, Lord God, behold, I don't know what to speak. I'm only a youth. But the Lord said, Do not say I'm a youth, for all, wherever I send you, I have purpose to send you there. You see this relationship between God and Jeremiah. This is true Christianity. True Christianity is a relationship with the true and the living God. Let me ask the youth here. Any of you have a best friend? Or maybe you have a group of friends? Someone that you hang out with? Someone that you call on your cell phone all the time and talk with? Somebody that you send text messages to all the time? Maybe somebody that you meet once a week at Starbucks coffee and you get involved in a school project and you have coffee together and you talk together and you share life together. That in a way is a picture of true Christianity. True Christianity is having this relationship with God through Jesus Christ. In Proverbs, we're told that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus is that friend. And you remember what Jesus said in John 15, 12? He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." Calvary Baptist Church, Calvary Baptist Church youth, when you go on your mission trip, I want you to love one another, is the Lord's command. And greater love has no one than this, that one would lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. Here's Christianity. Christianity is having a friendship with Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonder that you and I can have a friendship with the God of the universe and that we can know Him and walk with Him? And yet that's what Jesus says to His disciples. No longer do I call you slaves, but I've called you friends. We sing a hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And Jesus tells us here that greater love has no one than this, that you lay down your life for your friends. Understand as a youth that Jesus came into this world and He shed His blood for you and He died for you. Sometimes you hear of a soldier falling on a hand grenade to save the life of his friends. In Christianity, you have Jesus coming and shedding His blood and dying in your place. It's called substitutionary atonement. It means that Jesus is your friend and He came and He died for your sins so that you could be made right with God. Christianity is not a bunch of rules, a bunch of thou shalt nots and a thou shalt do's. That's not true Christianity. True Christianity is a relationship that you have with a person. God has spoken to us in His Word. He has told us what's right and what is wrong, the things that please Him, the things that displease Him. Have you ever hurt one of your friends, youth? Have you ever blown them off? You had maybe an appointment with them. You're supposed to meet at Starbucks, and something came up, and you just blew off the appointment. Or maybe you went to Starbucks, and you sat down with one of your friends, and you began sharing with them that I'm planning on going to this party this weekend and I'm thinking about going out with this guy or this girl. What do you think about that? And your friend starts giving you some advice and you don't like the advice, and so you sort of get angry and upset and you leave Starbucks coffee upset. No longer do you call them on the cell phone. No longer sending text messages. No longer meeting once a week at Starbucks. What do you think happens to that relationship? And yet, if we talk about Christianity is having a friendship with God, it means that every day we are to send text messages to Him. We are to pray to Him. We are to go to His Word and study His Word and let Him speak to us. That's what Christianity is. It's having this friendship with God. So, youth, as you go to Pennsylvania, remember that God made you. And He's sending you with a purpose. But also remember that true Christianity is a relationship with the true and the living God. There's a hymn that's a favorite of many of ours. It's called "In the Garden." It says, "I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ears, the Son of God discloses. And He walks with me. And He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there none other has ever known." That's just a picture of what true Christianity is. It's when God walks with you and He talks with you and He tells you that you belong to Him. That's Christianity. But you want to know something? And I need to ask this question before you all go. As youth, I need to ask you, do you have this kind of relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you walk with Him? Do you talk with Him? You'll never have this relationship with Jesus Christ until you see that you are a sinner and that you're lost and that you need a Savior. Sin is pictured in the Bible as a bondage. It's like chains that are on your arms and on your ankles. Charles Wesley has a great classic hymn. And I know, youth, that you're used to text messages and videos, and we're told that your generation is a visual generation. But I want you to look at this picture that Charles Wesley paints in his great hymn, And Can It Be? He says, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Charles Wesley is picturing himself as being a prisoner in a jail cell, and he's got chains on his arms and on his legs. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Then something happened. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. You see the picture? Before you came to faith in Christ, sin had you shackled up. You were in a prison cell. It was dark. And all of a sudden, one day, the Lord appears, and there's light in that cell. And you awoke. That is, you awakened spiritually. You were spiritually dead. It's called being born again. And you begin to realize what you've been in is this jail cell, and the Lord is there, and there's light, and your chains fall off, and your heart is free, and you went forth, and you followed Christ. That's Christianity. It's having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I need to ask your youth, do you have that relationship this morning? Do you know Jesus as your friend and your Savior? The third R is found in verse 6. Then I said, O Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. Here's my third R, retreat. You may be tempted as a youth, as you go to Pennsylvania, you might be tempted to say, Lord, I can't do this. I don't know how to do a vacation Bible school. I don't know how to teach these kids. And there may be a temptation there to retreat, to allow fear to control you. And the Lord is saying, don't say I'm just a youth and I can't do this. I'm going to be with you. Go, and I'll be with you. What the Lord is wanting us to see here is the spirit of fear. Fear always paralyzes. You've heard that statement, paralyzed by fear. And that's exactly what the enemy would like to do to every Christian. Just sort of paralyze us with fear. Fear knocks you down. Fear makes you feel weak, limp. You feel like you're ready to collapse. Some people even faint from fear. Fear can make you panic. Fear makes you irritable. I can't do this. They're asking me to go do this, and I can't do this, and you find yourself getting irritable and upset because you're afraid that you're going to fall flat on your face. Fear can make you unhappy. You lose control. You become frantic, irrational, self-protective. I can't do this. Don't ask me to do this. I can't. Fear puts you on edge. Fear makes you ill at ease, uncomfortable, touchy, miserable. And so, youth, as you go to Pennsylvania, I want you to remember God made you. He's given you these gifts. He has a plan and a purpose for you to go to Pennsylvania. He wants you to have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. And He's going to be with you. He's going to speak to you. He's going to direct you through His Word and through prayer. And as you go to Pennsylvania, don't retreat. Don't panic. Don't allow the spirit of fear to control you. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 is one of my favorite passages. Timothy has probably been writing some letters to Paul, and he's afraid. He's beginning to think, what in the world's going to happen to Christianity? What's going to happen to the church? If Paul is executed, Christianity's done. And Paul writes to Timothy and says, Tim, Why are you so afraid? Why are you so timid? Kindle afresh the gift of God that's in you. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and self-control. And so Paul writes to Timothy and says, don't allow this spirit of fear to control you. And youth, as you go to Pennsylvania, don't let fear control you. Don't say, I'm only a youth. Allow God to say, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to help you as you go. Point number four, you're a representative. You're a representative. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I'm only a youth. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you. And then you remember he gives Jeremiah these two tests. He says, what do you see, Jeremiah? He says, I see an almond branch. You've seen correctly. He's watching over his word. As you go to Pennsylvania, youth, you are representing God. Just like Jeremiah represented God to the nation of Israel, you're going to Pennsylvania to represent not only God, but followers of Jesus Christ and representatives of Calvary Baptist Church. And God is watching over you, and he's watching over what you teach and what you say, and you need to understand that he is watching you because you represent him as you go to Pennsylvania. Now I'd like you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 in closing here. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I believe these are the words that you had printed on your youth t-shirt. Paul, again, is writing to Timothy. But look what he says. Let no one despise you for your youth. But set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Did you notice that even in Paul's day, it seemed to be that some people looked down upon the youth? Nothing's changed. And so Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, let no one despise you for your youth. There's always people out there who are looking down on the youth and saying, they can't do it. You know what your reputation is as a youth? I'm speaking kind of in general terms. You know what the general reputation of youth is this? Youth are disrespectful. Youth are rebellious. Youth are self-absorbed. You're only in it for yourself. The youth are always cliquish. The youth always conform to peer pressure. The youth are sort of indifferent to serious issues. They always want to make a joke out of everything. That's kind of the reputation of youth. And what Paul is saying to Timothy, let no one despise you for your youth. Set them an example. I want you to be an example to the adults around you. Show them what it's like to be a true follower of Jesus Christ by your speech and by your conduct. You go representing God. You go representing followers of Jesus Christ. You go as representatives of Calvary Baptist Church. And you want to know something? You are setting an example to the adults of Calvary Baptist Church. There's no adult here that I know of that's going on a mission trip this year, but the youth are. You've given up a week of your summer to go on a mission trip and to be involved in Vacation Bible School. Maybe next year some adults can get on board and do some mission trips. But this year the youth are setting an example and they're going on a mission trip. And they're representing Calvary Baptist Church as they go. And so youth, as you go to Pennsylvania and you leave Saturday morning, hopefully maybe you might take some of this with you. I want you to remember that God made you and he's given you these gifts and these talents and he's planned for you to go. It's part of his purpose. There's a relationship that you have with Jesus Christ, and I don't want you to retreat. I don't want you to become fearful, but I want you to go knowing that God is with you and God is watching over you and he's going to use you, and you are his representatives to the people of Pennsylvania. So with that in mind, I'm going to have our closing hymn at this time. And then after our closing hymn, I'm going to ask all of the youth, whether you're going on the trip or not, if you're a youth, I want you to come forward along with the leadership, Jennifer and Jimbo and Stacy, and I think Alex and Rachel are out of town, but I want you, all the youth, to come forward here, and we're going to have a time of prayer for our youth.